I'm switching over now.
Come on, guys, on Binky. Get this spot to the push, eh? Bye, Billy and Mike, we gotta go back.
Hook him with your ball and reel him in.
I don't know why. How can you listen to Die Youpers and not get a smile on your face? Well, this is Frank, Fish and Franks. Yes, indeedy, that's it. The man, the myth, the walk-around living legend guy. And who knows where that'll lead. But anyway, Robert's in the chair across from me, and we are Fish and Franks. And this is... we have a couple of stores, by the way. We got one in Port Charlotte at 4425 Tamiami Trail, and we have one in North Fort Myers at 14531 North Cleveland, and that's in the Ingman Marine Boat Dealership. So we got a couple stores. We're working on one up here in Northport, Englewood. We're seeing what we can do about getting one up here to enjoy more of the Northport, because we are at the big WKDW Radio, 97.5 FM, real community radio. For all those who were here last night at the open mic night, thanks for coming. It was an awesome night. Lots of fun, lots of people. Wednesday night's open mic nights, and stop by, enjoy the show. So, Robert, you went fishing.
Yeah, I get to do that once in a blue moon, but I actually got to do it three different times.
Well, this was once on an orange moon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is it when you look up, you see this beautiful orange moon, and you take a picture of it, it's a white moon?
Or it looks fuzzy and just like garbage every time.
Yeah, I don't get that.
The pictures don't do it justice.
Yeah,
that was some moon was awesome. Beautiful moonrises the last few nights.
Anyway, I don't know if it'll go again tonight, but if you get a chance, walk outside tonight and take a look at it. Outdoors is excellent. I don't care what the people say. Leave your house, go out, have some fun. Let's see. Speaking of having fun, I got to go fishing as well. Now, you were out with Captain Mike Myers.
I got to go fishing with you one evening, too.
Yeah, we went out, but you were out with Captain Mike Myers.
Yep.
So, where did you guys go?
Well, we went out and looked for triple tail along the crab trap buoys from basically Boca Grande all the way up to Stump Pass. And we saw a lot of them, but they were all little tiny guys. But
so you were saying there was like a triple tail in every fourth or fifth buoy.
Yeah.
There, yeah. That's a lot of triple tail.
Yeah.
So, but they're all tiny ones, huh?
Yeah, 10, maybe 12 inches, most of them. There was about half a dozen that were actually legal size or just barely over.
Did you catch any? Did you go after
any?
Yeah,
we caught three of them.
You caught three?
Yeah.
All right. What were you using for bait?
Shrimp. Just free lining a shrimp. We were
now, how big was the shrimp?
Basically, probably about three and a half inches long, like what we call a select.
Something all right.
That's just barely castable, but we also put a bobber on a couple smaller ones because they looked at that bigger shrimp. The couple bigger ones looked at the big shrimp going by but didn't want it, so we switched over to a bobber with a smaller shrimp on it, casted it to them, and they hammered it.
All right, so using a weighted bobber to make up for the lack of weight in the shrimp, going down about it. What size hook were you using?
I'm not sure what Mike had on. If I had to guess, it was probably about a 1/0 or a 2/0.
Okay, yeah, because I use I go for the at the store we would call a choice, which is just kind of a regular shrimp, just a little bit the better size regular, but not like a castable shrimp, not one heavy enough to throw. And I use the water-fillable casting bobbers on them. I put it right above the leader so I can toss it, leave it half full of air, half full of water, and allows me to get a lot of distance, but acts as a little bobber, but it's clear plastic, so it's kind of invisible. So
yeah,
it works pretty good.
Works out really well for a whole lot of different scenarios.
Well, the other day I was out, and I had some very, very small bait, and I actually went back and put together an essentials bag.
Right.
Because I want some small water-fillable casting bubbles, because when I have small shrimp or small white bait, any kind of small bait, it's too small to cast.
Right.
And I don't really want a bobber because I want it to be able to kind of free line. I use the water-fillable casting bubble. I put that on the line, tie my knot to my leader, fill it entirely full of water. Then I'll throw that small bait with that, get a lot of distance out of it. But once the plastic bubble hits the water, it's not buoyant. It doesn't float. It doesn't sink. It's as close to freelining as you can get. But it still allows that bait to, very heavy in the air, pretty much nothing in the water. Getting around to some of the fish, you and I got to go fishing, which, listen, boys and girls, drum roll. Okay, I got my two flat slams last week. Went out with Carl on Tuesday, and I was with Captain Carl, and I have no proof of the flat slam because I don't have pictures of any of it, but caught a lot of small snook with Carl, probably 20, 30-plus snook, and then... one big redfish, which I went to pick up to get a picture of it. He says, do you want the gripper? I said, no, I'm fine. I picked it up. I wasn't so fine. It hit the deck, ba-boom, splash, fell in the water. No pictures of that. And then we went back. We were catching nice trout. We were on the backside of Bull Bay on the intercoastal area, right where you come out of Bull Bay. And it was amazing, big trout over there, 15 to 20 inches, several over 20 inches. So I got my flat slam there. Then Robert and I went fishing with the wife, my wife Terry. And we're just sitting around the store. I said, hey, it's going to get dark out. Let's get out of here. Let's go fishing. And went out, put the boat in. Well, actually, my boat was still in the water, so because I live on a canal. And so we just went out, and we went, 5 minutes from the house, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
And anchored up on an island, threw some old dead shrimp out, and then waited, and we weren't getting much. And then all of a sudden, Robert caught a redfish.
Yeah, redfish, a catfish, yeah. A couple of I don't knows that I had hooked but got off.
And Terry got a catfish. Mm-hmm. And I got two reds, a snook, and a trout. It was funny because I got the snook, I got the redfish, caught a couple of redfish, and then all of a sudden I get this fish out. I'm going, is that my trout? Is that my trout? Because it's head shaking and splashing at the top. Is that my trout? Yes! Second flat slam of the week.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. And it was a beautiful, beautiful evening. I mean, I know we were only out there for like an hour, hour and a half, but
that it was nice when the sun went below the trees.
Yeah, it was shining right in our eyes where we were anchored up, but still it was... That river is just peaceful.
It's nice. It's a great way just to end the day. Then Terry did what she always does. She goes out, catches a fish that's bigger than mine, all mine put together. We get back. She steps off the boat, puts a shrimp on, throws it out in the canal, and catches a nice snook. So she couldn't let me have one trip, one night. Oh, so much not. For that whole man myth. Yeah, the myth is. There's a myth there, all right. Anyway, fish around the area. We've got a little bit of Spanish mackerel. We got king mackerel. We got pompano. There's, trout.
Bonnethead sharks.
Bonita sharks. There's all kinds of stuff. And we're going to kind of go on about that. Bonnet heads. I was with Captain Kale last week. I went out with him, and we went to the east side, and the fish are kind of segmented. We went in at Pirate Harbor because it was very, very low tide. Went in, went north of Pirate Harbor behind the bar, between the land and the bar, about Central Way. Went up about a quarter mile, stopped the boat, put out the anchor, and without chumming or doing anything, we just sat there very quiet for a while, put shrimp out under bobbers, caught a bonnet shark, caught a second bonnet shark. A lot of fun on the very light tackle we were using. Pulled the anchor, drifted about 50 feet, easy anchor back in, don't throw one in, ease it in. He was using his power pole, so it was very quiet. And we caught two or three more sharks. And then it slowed down, picked the anchor up, went a little bit further, put the anchor back down, all shrimp under bobbers. The shrimp was down, so it was just off of the bottom. We were in about 2 feet of water, 18 inches, 2 feet of water. We had the shrimp set almost 20 inches below the bobbers, so they're kind of dragging, but as the light chop on the water bounced the bobber, bounced the shrimp up and down on the bottom, made the sharks absolutely nuts, caught a lot of bonnet sharks doing that way. I think the thing I like about bonnet sharks is once you get them behind the head, they're all pretty good. That's it. They would just, you know, okay, go ahead, take the hook out, and put me back, you know, no big deal.
They're pretty docile when it comes to that. You still got to be careful, though, because a lot of people are under the misconception, kind of like nurse sharks, they think they don't have teeth.
Oh, they got a lot of teeth.
They got some serious teeth.
So. Yeah, they get a hold of you. You'll learn in a big hurry they got teeth.
It's a two and a half
shark. Shark is the word.
Still stitches, potentially lose a fingertip, so you got to be super careful. But
I'd take a big chunk out. They get it. They're off. Once you get them by Ned, they're nice and docile, and you can take the hook out. Easy to handle. I hold the leader. Now, Kale made a really good point. He was using the bobbers that have the wire in them with the beads on one side and the weight on the other, using it to hold on to the shark as a handle.
Yeah, there you go.
So it really worked out good because with the way it was set, when the shark came around the boat, you just grabbed the bobber, you could pick it right up, and it was awesome that way. Found out the DOA ones are not as good as the more expensive ones for doing this because the DOA has a metal rod in it. Now, it's the one that I use 99.9% of the time. You can buy the other ones that have a titanium wire, and that titanium doesn't bend and kink. So when you grab the shark and you go to pick them up, you don't bend the wire like on the DOA ones.
Gotcha.
That wire going through on the DOA, once you bend it, it's bent. And now it's a bobber. It's no longer a popping bobber.
Right.
Is there a name different popper for the ones with the wire in them that the bobber slides, you know, up and down between the loop and a regular popping cork? We got to come up with a name for that.
Right.
Two completely different critters. One's a popping cork, and those are poppers, but they're not popping corks.
But they also come with cigars, and they come with ovals, too, on them, but they still have that through wire with the beads, whether they're glass or plastic or metal.
Oh, and I can tell you one thing. If you tie your line to the end with the metal beads on it and tie your bait to the side with the plastic beads on it, it tangles a lot.
I don't know why.
Well, it floats upside down.
Imagine that.
I'm looking at it thinking...
Heavy side up. Okay.
Yeah, heavy side up. No problem.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there looking, going, why does that look like the leader sticking out of the water on that float? And I was catching fish with it, and I really wasn't paying attention. And all of a sudden, looked, and I was like, really? This is... Okay, there's the man, the myth right there.
Nice.
I mean, I didn't put it on.
I know.
Captain Kale put it on that way. But I fished with it probably half an hour like that, 45 minutes before I figured out what the heck was going on. Kept untangling it, reel it in, untangle it. I'm like, man, what's wrong with me? I can't keep this line untangled. It was upside down. All right, anyway. Now,
that cooler water has brought, not because the bonnet heads have been mostly on the east side, but... The last several days, I've had a lot more reports with guys catching them over on the west wall. They've moved on to Cape Hayes Bar a little bit more consistently. And a lot of guys are seeing them down over there in Whidden Bay area on the backside of Bull Bay between basically Devilfish and Placida. So that the little bit cooler water has started to get them a little bit more active in all sorts of places rather than just real small specific area.
All right. Now, what's up with the pompano? Heard a lot about pompano out in front of Bull and Turtle Bay. Scattered reports on the beaches. Where would you say the best pompano fishing is?
The passes. The passes are by far the most consistent place right now, but they are really pretty good on the west wall and over by Hog Island. I've been getting some good reports at both those places, too, the last couple days.
All right, well, let's take Hog Island. If you were going to fish Hog Island for pompano, I would use a popping cork and a shrimp. What would you use?
I'm going to probably do a little bit of both. I'm going to probably put a popping cork on a
shrimp. I'm fishing with a popping cork and a shrimp, and you're going to do a little bit of both? What, well, to double up your popping corks?
No, I'm going to put that in a rod holder and let that do its own thing. But the other one I'm going to actually fan cast with one of those banana jigs or pompano
jigs. So you're going to do two things then. You're going to put a jig on, a little banana jig, crazy jig, silly jig, whatever it is. What color do you like?
I like pink.
Straight pink or pink and white?
Pink's my favorite, and then pink and white's my second.
All right. I throw the pink and white and the chartreuse and white, but I throw pink and white much more. Yeah. Now, I like the ones with the feather teaser attached to it.
Yeah, I haven't caught enough on it to say it's good, bad, or indifferent, so I'm still not real picky.
So, now, are you tipping that jig with shrimp, or are you just leaving it jig?
Just the way it is. It's been working very well. A lot of guys have been doing good over there, and it just works for me.
Yeah, I use a medium retrieve, cast it out, lift the rod tip, drop the rod tip. Reel, lift the rod tip, drop the rod tip, reel. It's kind of my way I use it.
All right.
Now,
I work it kind of like I would the soft plastic paddle tails when I'm doing that, except for I'm going to go just shorter on my lifts.
When you go up the Miami River, you're in Charlotte Harbor, you're going up the Miami River. The Hog Island is the land you see on your right-hand side. How deep do you want to go? I usually try 4 or 5 foot.
That's usually where I found them, you know, but I've seen them in as shallow as 2 feet, but I can't catch them when they get in that really skinny water. I've always done better out there in that 3 to 5 feet of water range.
I think if you had some fiddler crabs or sand fleas and with a little hook, little tiny bobber, you were up in that shallow, so I think you could do pretty good with it. But with the shrimp and a popping cork, I think you're better off. Now, I'm going, when I'm in 4 foot, I put as long a leader as possible. I'm using probably around a 3 foot leader. You do a little shorter or longer?
Honestly, I almost always use a 3 foot leader because I'm lazy. I don't want to have to keep retying a whole new leader on when it gets too short.
So, now, is there a difference between the way you fish them at Hog Island? And let's move over to the west side, the west wall. And are these fish on top of the bar or out in front in that 4 to 6?
Most of them are just on the outside edge that I've been hearing about over there. And I'm going to fish them the same way.
That meant out of the two choices I gave you, you picked a third. Come on.
A little more specificity here.
Okay.
Is that a word?
Of course it is. I just said it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, how could I say something that wasn't the word? Oh. WKDW Radio, 97.5 FM, where you learn new things every day. So, So are you in that 4 to 6 out there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to probably be – I don't very seldom catch them in that 6 foot of water, and if I do, I get bit off by too many Spanish, so I usually try to stay up in that 4 foot of water.
Okay, a little closer to the bar.
Yeah. But it also depends on where they start skipping from, because I got a fish where I'm seeing them.
All right, so what you're doing is you get the boat on plane, you're going along, let's say it's 15 or 18, 20 miles an hour, which is about as slow as you can go and stay on plane.
Correct.
And one person watching where you're going, the other person watching behind the boat, and when you run over them, the pompano jump out of the water to tell you they're there.
Yeah.
What do you do after that?
I go just a little bit further, like say another 50 yards or so, then I turn around on a nice wide turn and come back to that general vicinity where I saw them skipping last, and then start fan casting, whether it's with the bobber, with the popping cork, with the shrimp, or with the silly jigs, and just start fan casting here until I hook into one, then usually it's kind of game on.
Random thought of the day. Do you think chum would work on them, like bait chum or other chum?
I would think you might be able to get them stay longer if you chummed them with some shrimp. You know, whether you took the small pieces like you do sometimes and just kind of broadcast them out there.
I'm just wondering because, you know, that's the one, always the main problem with pompano is, okay, they're there, and then they're gone, but there's no way to hold them there.
Right.
Why couldn't you just sling out, like you say, chop up, let's say take a bag of frozen shrimp and dice it up into little pieces and then just take, you know, a little half handful. When you see the pompano skip out of the water, you could get back to your spot and just toss it out. Boat shut off, you're just drifting, and just toss it out in the water. But I think if I'm going to chum, I want to anchor it.
Yeah, I'm going to probably anchor too.
So if you got in that area and you anchored up, and then just start putting little bits of the chum out there. Remember, if you're going to chum with something like shrimp or fish or anything, make the pieces small enough to get the smell in the water, but not big enough to feed them. So the tinier you slicing that you can do, the more effective it is because it makes them want it, but they don't have enough to eat.
Yeah.
So you don't want to fill them up. You want to eat little tiny, tiny pieces, scatter a little bit, wait a little while, scatter a little bit, wait a little while. I'm going to try that next time I get out on pompano. I've never, ever chummed for pompano. And this is a first. This is an idea on 97.5 FM, WKDW Radio, Real Community Radio, and that's your tip of the day. All right. I have no idea what's going on. I have no idea. All right.
I've never thought about that for pompano. I mean, neither have I. It's a very interesting concept or idea.
All right. If you're going out to Boca Grande Pass, I'm hearing Boca and Captiva both have pompano in them. Is there a difference in fishing them out there?
Yeah, the bobber's not going to work as good because you're fishing a lot deeper water. Most of those guys are drifting the north edge of either one of those passes, and they're fishing anywhere from 10 to 25 feet of water. So you're probably going to use, this is the instance where I would use a shorter leader. I'm going to use my typical Carolina rig with, you know, egg sinker on my main line, a swivel, and I'm only going to use about a 12-inch leader with my hook on it and then my shrimp. Or I'm going to be using like the 3/8 ounce or the half ounce pompano jig to get it down deep and be able to work it right close to the bottom.
And see, now I would be freelining. I wouldn't use the sinker at all. Maybe a split shot if the current was running really heavy. And what I would be doing is casting it up into the top of the tide and let it drift past the boat as much as possible with the natural flow of the water, reel it back in, cast it up, let it drift in front of me again. When you have two people on the boat, if you can get a rhythm going, you know, the guy in the back makes a long cast out. As soon as the bait starts to move, the guy in the front casts over that line to the back of the boat, letting his bait, the guy in the back reels up, bringing his underneath that other one, that one drifts through, the guy in the back cast. You can get a really nice rhythm to that where you're constantly presenting the shrimp along that drift. Now, the jig, if I'm in that 10, 20 feet of water, Boca Grande Captiva Pass, or whichever one of the passes you might want to hit them, you letting that jig hit the bottom, the crazy jig, silly jig, banana jig, or yeah, are you kind of doing it through the column?
No, most of them all have been most successful by dragging it and just hopping it lightly off the bottom. You know, if you're trying to reel it through the water column out there, there's so many instances where the Spanish mackerel and the bluefish are coming through in little groups that you'll go through a lot of them if you keep it suspended too high out there.
Okay. Now, I would have to say probably the next fish. Next fish, please. Next fish. Next fish, please. Okay. Trout are probably doing the best on the east side of the harbor. But what's weird is I was over there the other day. There was almost no trout in the middle of the flat. But when we got up right next to the sandbar, now you got the main sandbar that everybody sees. That is the border between open harbor and the flats. That's the, they call it a reef or a sandbar, whatever you want to call it. And then you've got a little bit of deep water there, and then there's a secondary bar. It's not very well known. It's not really noticed. But in between that main sandbar on the inside and that secondary bar, that's where the trout were hanging out. They weren't back on the open flat. The sharks were all over it. I mean, literally, we caught 10, 20 sharks in an hour, hour and a half, and we easily saw 30 or 40 more. But when we got up, all the way up by on the inside of that bar, that's where we got the trout. And I would say the smallest was about 10 inches. Most of the trout we caught were between 15 and 20 inches. Shrimp under a popping cork, same way we were doing the sharks, and it just went from sharks to trout.
And that's been a pretty good general consensus all the way around. Some of the guys have been getting some bigger trout down in Turtle and Bull and along the intercoastal, both from Pine Island all the way up to Lemon Bay, which seems to be where the most consistent number of bigger trout have been coming from, Lemon Bay. And the guys are catching them still on shrimp with your popping cork or free line shrimp, but some guys have been catching some really good quality fish on small pinfish and paddle tail grubs.
Now, how small a pinfish are we talking about here?
I would say about a 3-incher.
You know, 3-inch, pretty good size pinfish, isn't
it? Yeah.
And the trout are still eating 3-inch pinfish?
That's what they're getting those 20 to 24-inch trout on. One guy got a 26-incher. He was so happy. 5 years of fishing for trout, and he finally got one over 24 inches. He was ecstatic.
I know.
And they've been catching them at the mouths of some of those creeks, like Oyster Creek. I think the other one's called Buck Creek.
Buck Creek.
And then
Buck.
Buck.
Buck Creek.
Yep.
That's where you're talking about, Buck Creek?
Yep.
That's the one you're talking about.
That's what they tell me the name of.
Okay, well,
I'm not familiar enough with
it. That's okay.
And then some of the deeper sand holes off the ends of the dock on the mainland side of the intercoastal.
So you're talking about the holes off of Buck Creek?
All around that vicinity, yeah.
You heard it first here, boys and girls, and I'm not going to repeat it again because I just don't want to, but WKDW Radio, 97.5 FM, Real Community Radio, and this is, go on to kdwradio.com, and you can, if you enjoy the show, we got to be worth at least 50 cents, maybe a quarter, but you can go click the Donate Now button and donate nickel, dime, quarter, 50 cent, whatever you like. Keep the radio station on the air, and you can click the Listen Now button because WKDW 97.5 FM broadcasts from Northport through Port Charlotte, Englewood, out into parts unknown, Venice, and on the internet, we broadcast to the world at large. The whole world listens. Believe it or not, everybody listens WKDW on the internet.
On the internet.
And here, wherever they can find it. So,
yes.
All right. Anyway, we are Fish and Franks. We have a store in Port Charlotte, and we have a store in North Fort Myers. And you can go to fishandfranks.com, F-I-S-H-I-N, Franks. Remember, no G in Southern fishing. It's fishing, not fishing. So, anyway, fishandfranks.com. 3.5 million hits a month, full fishing reports, everything on there. There's nothing for sale on it except if you want to buy a gift certificate. So it's all from us to you. All the fishing reports and everything are there. And that's going to take us now. Lemon Bay, best place for trout. And is there anything besides shrimp under a popping cork working up there?
Those bigger pinfish and then the white paddle tails. And then a couple guys have actually been doing pretty good on some of the topwater stuff, like the small Zara puppies or the Spook Juniors. You know, even one guy said he caught a couple small trout on a jitterbug.
Really?
He was experimenting. He bet his buddy that he could catch something on it because buddy thought he was nuts. He's like, that's a freshwater lure, and he threw it out there and caught a couple small trout on it just to prove him wrong.
I think my favorite topwater for trout is a head and torpedo.
Yeah.
That's
the tiny one. Torpedo or the regular torpedo?
Either or. The regular's good, but not the big one, the middle-sized one. Not the smallest, the next size up. The smallest one works great, but you get a lot more smaller fish.
Right.
Looking over the notes that you made here, you have a note about flounder.
Yep.
Now, flounder fishing around Cape Hayes was awesome. Then it went nothing. What's going on?
Yeah, it's still kind of nothing there, but it's... There's enough to mention where it's bycatch, but the majority of them have been out along the passes. Those guys that are pompano fishing have been catching them while that's why I was talking about using that shorter
now,
leader.
Could you drive out, walk up to the beach on, say, Boca, Little Gasparilla? Well, you can't get the Little Gasparilla, but Boca, Stump Pass, any of those, and have any expectation of catching flounder there?
I would say definitely first thing in the morning after they've settled down all night because a lot of those fish will move out of that little bit deeper protected water and come up real close to the surf line. So I think in the early morning is definitely a very realistic possibility.
Right.
Or if you've got the ability to walk out there at night, I've seen a lot of flounder out there.
A lot of people can't walk at night.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have the ability to be able to walk out at night.
To walk out of their house.
Walking is very difficult for people.
It's a lot of exercise involved in that.
Yeah. You know, so, okay, you made a flounder and you were gone. Okay, now, flounder, is there any along the beaches, along the Gulf Coast?
A little bit. You know, I'm hearing mixed variety or mixed numbers up at Sharky's, or not Sharky's, but like from the jetties.
From that place to the other place.
Yeah.
The way between them. All the way from that place to the other place, you can catch flounder anywhere in between there.
A little bit along the jetties.
You got it. Okay.
And then Casperson's Beach, they've been getting a few. So I'm getting kind of a hodgepodge of reports on them, but this full moon, I think, has got them a little weird. A lot of guys have been gigging them lately, too, with this full moon.
Can you tell I grew up in the rural area?
You think?
Very outside area. Yes, indeedy. Not doing Saturday Night Live jokes. I do hee-haw jokes.
Nice.
Gosh. Oh, that tells you how old I am. All right. Getting back into it. Spanish mackerel in the Gulf of Mexico, still in good numbers, but are there any close enough to catch if you're walking out to the beach?
Not at all that I've been hearing about.
All right, so you got to have a boat to do it.
Yep.
So how far off into the Gulf do you have to get with a boat?
It depends on who you talk to. There's 3 to 15 miles. You know, there's some bait out there, but the bait's not staying way up on the surface. The majority of the bait is getting down a little bit deeper or staying right on the bottom. So you got to look for that one bird that drops, go over to that area and start circling where you saw that bird at last, and you'll probably pick up some bait that is sitting on the very bottom and then start trolling around those spots, and that's where the guys seem to be catching consistent numbers of them.
40 to 50 feet of water out in the Gulf seems to be the target area. Yeah. Now, you got Spanish mackerel and king mackerel out there. So is there anything I could troll? You know, what I like to do is troll until I hit a fish, and then I'll stop and fish it. So anything I could troll that would catch both a Spanish and or king?
I would probably say, what, like a number two spoon, like a Clark spoon?
Yeah, a big Clark spoon or storm twitch. I guess you could troll a storm twitch.
Yeah.
Because that'll catch either or.
Absolutely.
Maybe a 15 bomber.
Yeah, I think a 15 would probably work too. You know, and I would probably also, I'd be using some of those lead, like, casting plugs, similar to, like, they're like the lead spoons with the treble hooks on them.
Gotcha. Like a jerk jigging spoon, the same thing you used to vertical jig for grouper.
Yeah.
Grouper only vertical with jig, the
there you go.
Hook.
Those, I love casting those, especially because there's a good chance of bonita. And then the blackfin tuna that the guys have been catching pretty regularly out there.
In news of the weird, we got a weird fish out there they say can't be there, but weird enough, and I'm telling you what, it's all true. And here in the land of the weird, we have blackfin tuna in 40 feet of water or less, and I'm not sure how that all came about. Robert, bring us up to date on the story of the blackfin tuna that shouldn't be there.
Well, a lot of guys are arguing, saying you're not catching them in that shallow water, but customers...
You're not. You're not catching them in that shallow water. I'm telling you right now here for sure.
Yep. The guys are catching them in literally from 40 to 50, 55 feet of water. Several different reports. One guy got 4. Another guy got 3.
I don't know.
Another guy got 2.
That's where I've usually seen them. I know when you go out 45, 50 miles, they're more prevalent out there.
Absolutely. They're actually targetable at that distance.
Inside that bycatch of them, a year ago, we had tons of blackfin tuna up close.
Right.
Now
that really big one, and it was in 46 feet of water out there last year.
So I don't understand why this year there's a big controversy over it. I think you're
jealousy.
Going to say something this year, somebody wants to start a controversy. It's sunny out. No, it's a little cloudy. I don't know what's up, but something about this year, if you say something, somebody's going to argue with you about it.
It's the trendy thing to do. It's kind of like growing a beard and drinking these really funny tasting beers.
Yeah, well, we won't go into who's doing that.
Tight, skinny jeans, you know, stuff like that.
What, are you buying new jeans?
No, not a chance. I mean, I can't even grow a beard.
The beard
I'll drink the weird beer.
The funny beer.
I'll drink the weird beer part, but I'm nowhere near the skinny jeans and the really cool beard.
Somehow I can just see that.
No, I don't even want to go there to poke my mind's eye out on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go blind here. help me. All right, let's see. WKDW Radio 97.5 FM, broadcasting out of Northport, Florida. This is Fish and Franks. It is an actual show. Believe it or not, I don't always believe it. We're here to tell you about fishing and probably something else, but we're not sure what. Two stores, one in Port Charlotte, one in North Fort Myers. Go to fishandfranks.com. Remember, no G in Southern Fishing. We're fishing, F-I-S-H-I-N, Franks. With an S, .com. Okay, lots of cool stuff on the website for you to see. Nothing for sale. It's just from us to you. Hundreds of places to drive up and fish and all that kind of stuff. All right. If I was going to go out off of Venice, how far off Venice would I go to find good gag grouper fishing?
That's actually been about the only place I've been hearing of any consistent reports of gag grouper.
But that's why I picked it.
Oh, okay. That's a good
that's
one.
That's why I picked it. Yeah. I was sitting there going, okay, the only place I can think of, the only one is off Venice. So that's why I picked it. So okay. How far out
if
do you
not,
have to
I
go?
Thought it was
tell
just a
people.
Really lucky guess.
Are you
going
to just come on, sooner or spit later. It out. You can tell them.
Anywhere from 40 to 70 feet of water, guys are going out there trolling, drifting, and fishing some of those harder bottoms. A lot of that area up there wasn't as affected as we were from us south. That bottom got pretty wrecked from Hurricane Irma. It buried some of the places with the wave activity and the draining of the harbor and stuff like that. A lot of those small ledges kind of they disappeared. You know, and Venice really didn't have that big of an effect. So that's why I've been hearing probably more consistent reports of the gags up there. But they're catching them every way that we normally would. Drifting, trolling some of the depth-specific lures, anchoring up on some of their own personal reefs and the man-made reefs that are up there. I think it's M9 and M11, I think,
yeah,
are the two.
Yeah, M16, but M9 and M11 are out there.
You know, so... But it seems like the better gags with the guys that are trolling or drifting are going just north of the Venice jetties, you know, not as much as the south.
I think if you're going off Boca Raton Pass trying to go west out there, there isn't going to be much until you get in that 60 to 80 feet of water. I'm almost going to say 80 feet of water. It's a long ways out to find grouper right now.
Yeah.
A lot of everything else, porgies, grunts, lane snappers, been doing
oh my
really
gosh.
Good. I mean, some of the biggest lane snappers
it's been amazing
that I can remember have
and
been coming
some
out
been close.
In the last few months out there.
Yeah, some of them been in close. I mean, 40 to 50 feet of water has been... Guys have been catching some nice lanes on those spots, but the better numbers seem to be in that 50 to 60 feet of water
yeah,
consistently.
Yeah, but if I go out 40 and catch
absolutely.
3/4 as many, I'm way happier than spending another 20 miles in fuel, or 40 miles round trip in fuel. Go out another 20 miles.
Right.
That's a 40-mile trip.
Exactly.
20 miles out, 20 miles back.
And the sheep's head are starting to move in a little bit out there on some of those closer spots.
What's the best bait out there for porgies, grunts, lane snappers, mangrove snappers? Is there anything out of the ordinary? Is it a live shrimp bite? Is it a squid bite, sardine bite, pinfish bite? What are we looking at?
Well, we stopped at a couple reefs the other day with Mike, and we actually caught all of ours on live and also frozen shrimp. We didn't even mess around with some of the cut bait. We just stuck with the frozen and live shrimp and did really pretty good. Other guys have been coming in and buying the glass minnows. We've sold quite a few of the glass minnows in the past couple weeks. But basically shrimp and squid, you really can't go wrong with both those.
By glass minnows, we have the glass minnows and the silver sides.
Mm-hmm.
Is that same thing or different?
They're a little different. The glass minnows are just a little bit bigger.
I gotcha.
But they do buy the silver sides pretty rarely. The snapper guys, that's like their favorite bait.
Yeah, I was going to say, this has been the most unusual year I have ever seen. We're talking about mangrove snapper. I don't know what you do about the mangrove snapper. Everywhere you go, mangrove snapper. We go over to the east side, we fish up against the tree, mangrove snapper. I'm up on the river. Terry catches 15-inch mango snapper. I don't know what's going on. I got a problem with this because I go to Bow Bay, Turtle Bay, up against the shoreline. You get up under the tree, mango snapper. I don't know what's happening here. But have you ever seen so many snapper?
No,
it's
not as much as I have.
Unbelievable.
And all the random places that they are.
Every place I stop and... You toss it up, you get bang, 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 you feel the hits on your line, and it's just like somebody, you know, tapping it with a pencil. You're hitting your bait with a pencil, and you reel in, your bait's partially gone. Fold it back up, cover the hook up with it, toss it back in there, and you'll catch a mangrove snapper. And these fish are ranging from 4 inches up to 15 inches.
Yeah.
Been extraordinary year. If this persists, we should have... Going into 2018, by this coming summer, figuring the growth rate of the mangrove snappers, probably I would say a half inch a month-ish.
Probably.
I would say that's probably pretty close. So by March or so, April, this coming year, this is going to be some of the best mangrove snapper fishing I think we've ever experienced. Or it's going to be like a few years ago, we saw them everywhere, then they all of a sudden they were gone.
They went into that parallel universe.
they opened up a door, they opened up a rift in the time-space continuum, went to the other dimension. Yeah, I get it. Okay. Yeah. Everything out there right now, the guys are looking all over. The number one thing I saw in the flats throughout Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, not so much on the east side, more up by the skating rink, saw a little bit of them up in the harbor and up in the river. But to be quite honest, the Gasparilla Sound, Pine Island Sound, mullet, mullet, mullet. What's going on with the mullet? They're everywhere out there.
Well, all the males have been staging up, getting ready to get to go into the big spawn. A lot of guys thought that they were going to do it, including myself, on the full moon.
You're a good-looking fish. I like your fins.
But, you know, the cold front didn't hit the way it should.
What's your sign?
Nice. All the guys that are talking right now with this cold front coming through, those buck snook or little male snook have all staged up in their groups. Now the females are going to start to dump out, and they'll all mix together somewhere in the middle to lower end of the harbor. And some of the main groups of fish will go up the intercoastal. The other big groups will go out off of beaches, and they all kind of head up upstream basically to the Manatee River. It is like one of the big converging places for all these mullet to go spawn.
Well, the thing that I have a vague, I guess, urban legend myth about mullet was that they go to deep water, and when they get out to deep water, they dive down and let the water pressure squeeze the eggs and the sperm out, and as that floats towards the surface, it mingles together, fertilizing the eggs. And it was the water pressure that would squeeze the stuff out of the mullet, and as it drifted towards the top, mixing together, that's how the eggs fertilized. That's an urban legend. I don't know if it's fact or not.
Yeah, I don't know either. I've honestly never wanted to watch spawning mullet.
I don't know.
No, it never interested me.
Hey, baby.
Yeah.
You've got some great fins.
Some of that makes sense, you know, but there's just a ton of mullet out there. There's a lot of mullet fishermen out there.
So
running up and down the flats.
Before you go running and screaming the sky is falling and that there's a red tide out there, just remember that mullet with the white road. Did we talk about this last week, mullet?
Yes, we did.
We talked about it last week. But mullet with the white road are not worth anything commercially. So you're going to see a lot of dead ones. They throw them overboard. So if you look and you think you're in a fish kill, it could be, but doesn't mean it's a natural fish kill or a thing. If it's only mullet, it's commercial wasting is what it is. They're not worth anything, so they just throw them back in the water because a boat only holds so much. Snook are just about everywhere, but right before snook season started last September, during August, we saw a lot of big snook, ton of big snook. And then all of a sudden, September, October, November, shorts or monsters. Shorts.
Yeah, it was one way or the other. There was no in between. Finding a slot fish this whole fall season has been very difficult.
All right. Now, a couple places have lit up on some really good snook fishing. For the pier fishermen, what's the best two piers in the area, best two places to fish from land, and what would they be likely to catch?
Placida would probably be my number one choice. The sheep's head have started to move in there a little bit more consistently, some better, larger, more consistent mangrove snapper. Catch and release snook there at night have been actually pretty darn good. Hearing of an oddball bonnethead, Spanish mackerel, kind of a mixed bag there.
That's at the Placida Pier or the trestle out there, yeah. Right there in Placida, right?
Yeah, right by the fisheries restaurant. Gotcha. And the old Mercury Proving
Save
Grounds.
The $7 instead of going over to the pier on right. The Gaspar Island side. You can walk right off next to the fishery restaurant
right
there.
Plus, it's a longer pier, so you got more room. So
you,
don't feel
can actually
crowded.
Go for a long walk on a long pier.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
Exactly.
Right, now, if you're going to fish sheephead there, what's the best way to fish them? What's the best bait to do? Because snook, there's snook there, but they're out of season. So
right.
What's sheephead is going to get better and better between now and February as the spawn is just getting started and it's going to continue on for the next month or two, what's the best way to fish them?
To be honest with you, I've been experimenting a little bit more this last year with the Porgy rig. Basically, my sinker is on the bottom of my line, and up about a foot from that, I'm putting my hook off to the side, like a three-way swivel.
All right. Now, are you doing two hooks or one hook?
I'm doing one hook. That's too much of a nightmare, two hooks, to be honest.
All right. I actually come up about over 2 feet. When I have the sinker on the bottom, I'm fishing from a pier. I'm just dropping it straight down because it's literally got to be right next to the piling anyway.
Yeah.
So I would rather have my bait up 3 feet or so, because if the current's not real strong, the bait's going to hang down a little bit because I've got my main line going down, and then I tie my hook off from it so it dangles out the side. And no matter what I do, it's hard to get less than a 10-inch offset to the hook. So by going up about 3 feet, even if the tide slacks, I'm still a couple feet off the bottom. And while sheephead do hit on the bottom, I think they're much more likely to be up around the piling, not so much right on the bottom, but just off of the bottom.
Right.
So when you're a foot up and your bait's dangling out on a faster tide, it would be up a foot. But other than that, it'd probably be drooping down. So that's why I go up about 3 feet to make up for some of the droop. I'm old. I know about droop. I got droop as a way of life. And so how do you know? I have no idea how you're everything droops. So I compensate. See, you're still young. You don't know about droop. You don't know how to compensate for it yet.
Right. I don't have to worry about it yet. Keyword is yet.
I wish you could see the look on that face. The smile, the smirk. I mean, that was just sheer, I'm younger than you. Suck on it, buddy. I'm like, my God. It's like you got a fancy popsicle. It was like a rum popsicle. Can you get a rum popsicle?
Probably.
I don't know if the rum would freeze, and then it'd be a slush-sickle.
Well, you make a rum slushy.
All right. Yeah, well, I can do that right now.
The main thing for those sheep's head that I like to use out there is I like to use pieces of frozen shrimp because, I mean, fiddler crabs are very hard to come by. And I'm not going to go out there and dig through the mangroves. I'm not going to go flip rocks for them. I'd rather use either frozen shrimp or sand fleas.
You go out and get sand fleas. We have the Florida snow shovels, the sand flea scoops.
But then I'd have to pay the toll to go on the island. I don't want to do that.
You could just do it off Englewood Beach.
Yeah, but then I might as well just fish
you gotta
there.
You got to pay to park there, too, don't you? What about Stump Pass?
I'm using frozen shrimp.
Okay. I'm using frozen shrimp. Yeah. Cheaper, it's easier.
Stump Pass, you got to pay, too.
I'm good with that, yeah.
They're all nice places, and they all hold a lot of sheep's head. But for fishing off of those, off the piers there for those sheep's head, frozen shrimp and frozen sand fleas just work so incredibly well. It saves me a lot of headache. If I got a lot of time, I'll go dig the sand fleas, but most of the time, my time's a little limited, so.
Okay, now, we're talking about sheephead there. Where was the, that was at Placida. Where's the other place you could go out and go fishing with expectations of catching something from land? It's got to be a pier, a bridge, or land somewhere.
Honestly, probably my next choice would probably be El Jobin.
Really?
Yeah.
Not Venice, not the jetties?
The jetties, but you said pier.
Well, I said pier, land, whatever. Okay. Well, kind of jetty was on the whatever side of it.
The jetties, it depends on how
now
many people
he's
are
specific.
There.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll get specific for you.
I like the north jetty rather than the south jetty.
That's specific.
Yeah.
Very good. All right.
The north jetty seems to get a little bit less foot traffic than the south jetty for me personally with my own experience.
Gotcha.
There's, for as many hundreds of yards of giant boulders you've got to choose from, it seems like you're always standing on that one boulder that two other guys want to get onto. And it's just, I'd rather go on the north side where it's just a little less crowded for me. And if the jetties are a little bit crowded, fishing that north side of the beach can be really productive too for some of those sheep's head, even some whiting on occasion. And if you are lucky and some bait moves in closer, there's always the possibility of Spanish mackerel coming in through there, too. I haven't heard much of that lately, but it's a good probability for a good variety of stuff.
Well, sorry. I have no idea where that was going. Okay. Don't you know, we got a whole bunch of our buddies coming down from up north. They're going to come down here, and they want to do the fishing. And when you're going out to go fishing, you got to go for the shark, that alligator walleyed shark. I mean, the big sharks. That's what you come to Florida to catch. What's the odds right now when you're coming down from up north and I want to go shark fishing? What's my chances of catching a shark at this time? Dear Robert.
Right. Well, you got a possibility of it because, I mean, with the mullet run going on, that tends to bring in some of the sharks from offshore and even some of your resident fish that are in the harbor. But I think you're fishing all day for one or two bites.
Yeah, we when we were back up on the flat, and we were literally a shark was in 3 feet of water. The shark was over 2 feet tall from his belly to the before his dorsal fin.
Right.
Slashing around, you could see the whole shark attacking that school of mullet, but very, very rare. About the only real shark fishing that we've got in the area right now is bonnet sharks up in the harbor. There might be an occasional black tip, or we got lemons and bull sharks, which are going to be here all year.
Right.
But in very, very few numbers. And it's going to be in the 40s.
Yeah, this weekend's going to get chilly.
So that's going to push more of the sharks down towards the Keys. So yeah. If they're coming down looking for sharks, I really don't see that much of a possibility in Charlotte Harbor right now outside of the shovel-nosed or bonnet sharks. Shovel-nosed is the manly way of saying bonnet shark.
Right.
You know, because if you go back up, let's say you're going back to Cleveland or Pennsylvania or some other country, and you said, I caught a bunch of bonnet sharks, or I was catching shovel-nosed. So,
or hammerheads.
Or hammerheads. They are hammerhead. You can say you were catching little hammerheads. This is Fish and Franks you're listening to, and on WKDW Radio 97.5 FM, real community radio broadcasting from Northport, Florida, 97.5 FM, and to Port Charlotte, Punta Gorda, Arcadia, Venice, Englewood, and parts unknown. And on the interwoven web, you can go to kdwradio.com and you can listen to us anywhere in the known universe there. So whether you're on another planet or just in Macedonia, and remember, don't upset the Macedonians. All right, the Port Charlotte, we have a store at Fish and Franks. North Fort Myers, we have a store at Fish and Franks. What's up with the freshwater fishing, Robert?
I think this cold front's probably, if it lasts the way it is, the crappie are really going to get excited. They got a little better with the full moon, but the last 2 days it's gotten a little slower. The bass fishing has been incredible too, but I think if the front stays as cold as they forecast for the next 7 days, I think by the middle to the end of next week, with that water temperature dropping down a little bit, you're going to see some crappie activity get really good. Wayne Quick was in yesterday, and he's been doing exceptionally well over at Okeechobee. It's been one of the best things going on.
Now, the other night when we were out, you were telling me it looked like we were crappie fishing because you were holding a rod, and I was rigging stuff up, so I was just kind of casting rods out. I threw out a bobber line off one of my front rod holders, threw another bobber line out. You've got a bobber line. Terry's fishing hers. I got another one going off the other one. But we didn't have any major issues.
No.
I think one tangle.
One tangle. That was it.
Not too bad.
No.
That's why I always use different colored line. Always, every rod to have a different color line on it, so when they get tangled up, they're going to be, when those rods get tangled, I can tell which one's which. If they're all green or all white or all whatever, I can't tell which ones are which. And speaking of not being able to tell which one is which, bass fishing.
That's been pretty good. I mean, guys have been buying a lot of shiners.
I love how excited you get.
I get excited about everything.
You're just...
I'm not the man of 72 voices and characters like you.
Such a ball of fire here. Bass fishing.
How was that?
Okay, that was good.
All right.
Woohoo! And why were the bass doing?
The guys are catching bass on shiners right now. That's been the real big thing. A handful of guys this week have started buying some of the pumpkin worms and the purple worms. So The soft plastic bite, I think, is starting to pick back up again, but shiners have been
ruling. I'm going
to
go out early morning or late evening and throw topwaters. I'm going to be throwing jitterbugs, a crazy crawler, maybe even a buzzbait. I love that topwater action. This is the time of year the fish are going to come up for them. Lots of oxygen, great water temperatures for them. It's not cold, but the water's a little bit... The water temperatures are nice, so the fish are going to be very active. They're going to be feeding for it, but fish don't have eyelids, so they don't want to look up in the direct sun.
Right.
So when I get that, you know, from 6:30 to 9 o'clock, daylight till about 9 o'clock in the morning, and on the other end, somewhere around 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon till dark, and even after dark, I like throwing topwaters.
Right.
And jitterbugs, and a jitterbug's not a popper. People always mess it up. It's got that big front end. You slow, steady retrieve it. Now, here's the secret, boys and girls, and I can't believe I'm going to do this on broadcast where people can actually have it recorded, but slow, steady retrieve. When it's working right, you'll see some bubbles behind it, and you're going to hear it go blip, 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 blip. When you hear that, you see a little bit of bubbles behind it. And it's a slow retrieve, maybe a moderate retrieve. You got to find the right one, but listen for it. And the next sound you hear after that blip, blip, blip is the ba-whoosh of a fish on, because that's what happens when you throw jitterbugs. We've had many contests. Lake Hapak on in New Jersey, my brother-in-law and I, many contests betting a quarter of fish on how many trout and who had to buy the beer. So, Fish and Frank. And that's us, the name of the show. There's a lot. This is Fish and Frank's. I am Fish and Frank, yes. I just looked at my wallet. I looked at my ID. It's Fish and Frank right here. And that's Robert in a chair across from me. Robert, any last thoughts?
No, just have a good, safe weekend and come check us out at Port Charlotte location or our Northport location or at fishandfranks.com.
North Fort Myers location.
North Fort Myers, what'd I say?
Northport.
Oh, sorry.
North Fort Myers. This is WKDW Radio, 97.5 FM, real community radio. And thank you all for listening. And check us out at fishandfranks.com, F-I-S-H-I-N, franks.com. I'm going fishing, yes, I'm going fishing, and my baby going fishing too. Baby brother about to run me up out of my mind, said, can I go fishing with you? So I took him on down to the favorite fishing hole. Now what do you